welcome to I'd Watch a Podcast. My name is Renee, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Keisha and Heather. Okay. Today, we are also joined by our guests, Patrice and Kevin. And today's topic is Parenting Confessions, What Parents Never Talk About. So everyone here is a parent except myself, so this is a learning experience for me as well as others. So this should be an interesting conversation, right? So let's get right into it.
All right.
So what do you dislike most about being a parent? And anyone can start. Patrice, you could probably start.
Oh, boy. So when I saw the question first, I tried interpreting the question as being what is the hardest part about being a parent, but then the truth is the hardest part for me is not really what I dislike about being a parent. To be honest, having to work a 9-to-5 and balance raising a toddler has to be the part I hate the most. And it's not like I'm one of those devout parents who only want to spend all my time with my child, but having to somehow flip the switch, so to speak, between giving your energy to your day job and then Monday to Friday coming home and only having so many hours in a day with your kid, and then make up for that on the weekend, believe me, that is a struggle I was not prepared for at all.
Right.
How old is your kid?
4 going on 5. So he's going to be 5 in December. And, oh boy.
A handful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, one of the things was that I guess I'm not able to give my child as much as I could. Because a lot of times, like, a couple friends that I know that they said they're going to give their child their first home when they turn 18 so they could start. They're going to buy the house, but then they have to do everything else. I'm not able to do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So that generational wealth that a lot of rich people can give their kid, I dislike that I can't do that. You know, regardless of working in the military for 20-something years, I still am not able to do that for my daughter, so that part, disliking not being able to do that.
But buying a house, though, Heather, like, that's not typical.
It's not, but for, or giving them some kind of generational wealth. Like, what do I have to show to, you know, what can I give to her? What can I pass on is nothing really, not right now.
I get it.
Except for a car that she got an accident with, but we'll go there later.
Right. Jeez, what do you think?
Oh, my God. For me. What I dislike being a parent is that I have responsibility. And it, for me, it wasn't a responsibility that I really thought about. I mean, it was all good and well when, oh, I want to have children. But when the children come, it's like, oh, my God, this responsibility that I have that sometimes I really don't want to, to live up to. I really want to just relax and get up in the morning and just have me to take care of. And so people don't really prepare you for what parenting will be like, and then they really don't tell you these things that some days you're going to be like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. So for me, the hardest part is to be always be a responsible person for your children when you don't feel like being.
Right.
And I don't always want to be that, and I dislike that part, like really. So that's for me. Like, nobody prepares me for that.
Right.
That's real talk, because nobody talks about that either. Kevin, what do you think?
The uncertainty of it all, if everything that I'm doing or have done or possibly could do, if it's going to be enough, or was it enough, or was it too much? So I believe just the broader uncertainty of how, and I think there's a meme floating around the internet, like how it started, how it's going. I think looking out in 5 to 10 years, it's like, okay, this is how it started, and really, how is it going? So the uncertainty of being a parent, especially a father, is a bit much. It's a heavy lift.
And how old are your kids?
My daughter is 12 and my son is 13.
Are you a single parent, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I think it's important that everybody knows the ages of the everybody's kids. So, Keisha, how old are your children?
So, I have a 12-year-old son and twin girls that are five. They're six.
Okay, and then Heather.
She's a grown back woman. She's 20.
Okay, right. So it's important because everybody here, you have from toddler or, you know, 5-year-old to 20-something-year-old. So mm-hmm. you kind of, you guys have the gamut of ranges of kids. So that's important that people know this. Mm-hmm. All right. So I always tell my mom that Keisha, if you didn't know, Keisha is my sister, right? So I always tease my mom that, listen, mommy, we all know, Shine and I know that Keisha is your favorite, okay?
She's smiling, too, like, yes.
We are okay with it. Uh-huh. I just want you to admit it.
Yes.
Do you favor one kid over the next? For those of you who have more than one kid.
Okay, so let's not say favor, but I think that you gravitate more towards one child more than the next, probably based off personality and kind of like how you vibe with that kid. I don't know if I would say I prefer one over the other, but my personality, say for instance with my son, is so much different than with my girls. I think we gravitate towards each other based on our personalities, right? So I don't know if so that's it. That's pretty much what it is.
So are you saying, yes, you favor one over the next? That's kind of a political...
I am saying that based on my personality and the personality of my son, we get along better.
Okay, got you.
Love that answer.
Hey, Kevin.
For me, it depends on what's going on. So my kids kind of run the gambit of my interests. And I found it important to share kind of the things that I enjoy doing with them. So each of them have kind of made it easier. My daughter, she likes to do the gardening type of thing or to do something artsy, whereas my son, I get my sports fix with him. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance between in certain activities. Yeah, I know one kid's going to enjoy the activity more than the other. So I do my best to balance it out across, time, so one time it might be a museum, the next time it might be a Dolphins game or something. So it just really varies. My daughter really hates going to football games.
But it's interesting because Keisha talks about personality, but yet you talk about interests. So I'm wondering if it's a man-woman type of thing where you would focus on your interests as a man versus saying, okay, maybe I favor one kid over the other because of personality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting.
But have y'all heard too that a lot of women, the sons are more attached to the moms and vice versa with the guys? The women are more attached to their dads in some situations, yeah.
Do you find that to be the case, Kevin?
Yeah, probably. I would probably say that's accurate. I don't know if it has anything more to do with the being of itself, in terms of, like my daughter's relationship, she's jokey. So she and I have joked a lot. Mm-hmm. And that may be something that I don't have with my son because it's cheerful banter back and forth on that. But if it's another subject, then it kind of goes both ways. Mm-hmm. I would say that as a man, that my mom's really important. So, and I have a great relationship with her. So,
All right.
So do you usually blame yourself for things that your child does? I know a lot of people talk about shame and, just feeling guilty a lot of times. What do you guys think about that?
My answer is yes. And my daughter is, like I said, 20. Some things have been going on within this last year. And honestly, even talking about it, sometimes it tears up because I'm like, did I fail as a mom? Did I not give her enough or did I do too much for her? Because a lot of times what I'm realizing when you give your kid a lot, either they become very needy, and they expect things from you because you've been doing this for so long. So a lot of times I do sit in that little room and within the last couple of weeks, cried because I'm like, did I fail her by doing a lot of things? So, yeah, I do blame myself a lot. And I know that's probably wrong, but because I know I gave her everything I could, but I do blame myself.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it just me? But I swear, like, I blame myself? No, never. But I can understand as a parent that you feel like you have a certain, as I said, the responsibility that you have is a very serious responsibility. And sometimes maybe you're a little bit too hard on yourself. But I really don't go into that blaming game with myself. I really try. I know that I do my best, whatever I can do. But, and also, I realize that kids, you really have to let kids kind of grow and make their mistakes and see where that's the only way they can develop. So we need to really stop the blaming game and just let the kids kind of do what they need to do and grow up. That's what builds personality. I never blame myself.
And why is that blame, Keisha? Because, you know, like I said, the military for 20 years, right? So a lot of times I was more about the military. The military had me away. So with me not being there a lot, that's why I feel guilty for not being there. So I've not been in the house 24/7 with her. So a lot of times, like, if I was there, would things have been different? So that's a part of that. That's a part of
I get that. Yeah. But I understand.
But you're right, though. No blaming. But, hey.
Patrice, what do you think? You know what? I don't know if it's because of the age that my son is, but I do blame myself for some of the things that he does. And I say some of them because he's now at that age where he's developing his own personality. And there are things he'll do, and I know he'll only do it to get a reaction, not because it's necessarily something he learned. So he'll realize that, okay, in doing a particular thing, he gets a certain response where he can get away with something. But let me tell you, there are things that kid will do. Things that's like, oh, did that start here? Because the truth is, I'm a firm believer in the fact that a lot of behaviors are formed at home. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that, you know, you teach your kids something and they're going to carry that through life. I mean, we've all been, I know for myself, I was a rebellious teenager, rebellious young adult. I didn't want to, you know, stay on the things that I grew up with. I grew up in church. I didn't want to always do that, you know. But going back to my son, and I give you guys a perfectly good example. He was at his great-grandmother's house a few days ago, and I went to pick him up, and she said, oh, you know, he called me a hooligan. And
call you a what?
A hooligan.
Okay. And my mom dropped because a few weeks ago, and this is not like the day before, like probably a month ago, he was storming in the house and he's at that stage where he's very miserable, very disagreeable, and he'll grow for everything. And he said, you are such a hooligan. And moved and left it. And when she said it to me yesterday, I could have just disappeared. And then today, his dad called me and said, you know, he told me that I'm an ugly hooligan. I felt like shit, literally, because I know that where that was coming from. And so whenever he picks up on new behaviors or whenever I see something new, I'm like, okay, where did that come from? And to be honest, I feel like, and I get what Keisha is saying entirely, that you don't want to put that on yourself because, believe me, that kind of thing is heavy. You have a lot of parents who never, like my mom, there are things that she has not walked away from that may have occurred with us when we were kids. And the truth is, I don't want to get there, but I also think for myself, especially, you know, in this stage, that I have a responsibility to observe what he's doing, and hey, if I'm to blame, I'm to blame. I just need to say, okay, Patrice, you need to fix your shit.
I agree.
Kevin, how do you feel about it as a guy? Because I feel like women may put more pressure on themselves oftentimes, but I want to know from a guy's perspective, what do you think?
Never any blame. At a certain point, they decide what they're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I know with my kids, my son in particular, you know, he wanted to be roughhousing at school. And so, you know, it was like, hey, you know, cut it out. And that was kind of the end of it. I didn't blame myself because I left college in school. You know, I don't know that I've really given it, aside from seeing the question, much thought. And then when I had to think about it, it just didn't resonate with me at all.
Okay, that's good.
This is interesting, because I feel like probably that's the feeling of a lot of men. I think women put more pressure on themselves than men do when it comes down to parenting.
I believe it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would dare to say that there's an equal amount of pressure, but I would say that the type of pressures that I allow myself to succumb to don't have anything to do with a blame.
So let's talk about that. So what pressures would you say you take off that would mirror that of what women would say blaming themselves? What would that be for you?
I mean, I think it was Chris Rock who famously said, my job is to keep my daughter off the pole. my son off the corner.
Right.
Both kids out of prison, off of drugs. You know, education. My kids know that... education is, there's no question on you have to get your education.
Right.
That's the only job that they have for pretty much the first 17 or 18 years of their life.
Right.
So those are the pressures I feel. And, you know, if my kids need a tutor or if they need help with something or they need to exercise, whatever it is, those are the pressures. The pressures of how they fit in. You know, I often wonder, you know, like, how is he around his friends, you know, or how is she around her friends?
Right.
You know, is she making a true representation of where she comes from? And, you know, those are more of the pressures, again, that uncertainty that we spoke out in the first question, you know, that comes into play for me or across the spectrum of positive subjects, but just not blame.
Right.
Because, you know, at a certain point, they have to meet. Like, I don't want my kids to live with me at 26 trying to figure out a 5-year plan and working at the Hooters. Like, that's not...
Oh, jeez.
Wow. You know, they have to go and do it. Like, you know, it's that simple.
Right. Okay.
That's so funny. All right. So, do you sometimes need a break away from your children?
Yes.
Do you feel bad about it? Do you feel like you just want to escape sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys feel bad about this?
No.
Never. Never feel bad about this.
Nope.
Listen, I want to escape on a daily basis. Like, especially now in this virtual world, my life is chaotic. And sometimes I will just go inside my room and I'll close the door and lay on the bed. But 2 minutes, there comes a child. So.
Yeah.
You can never escape enough, but I always, escape is good. I always say that, am I the only parent? Like, I used to have friends who were like, oh my God, I'm away from my child, I miss them so much. No. I really miss my children because I know that they're coming back. And this phase of getting away from them is just temporary, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm good with that.
I'm wondering, do you feel the same, like Keisha?
Who? Me?
Do you feel the same, Heather? Right, like Keisha, because I feel like Keisha as well in terms of the friends that I have who have kids. They always are like, oh my gosh, I miss my baby so much, I miss my kid so much, and da 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 da. So is that a thing?
It's, you know, I don't miss my daughter. I love her. But no, because like she said, she's coming back home. She's still 20. She's still here. So even when she was younger, I wanted that break sometimes.
Yeah.
Because even you try to go to the bathroom, even at this age, she still comes in there like it's nothing. Like, hey, I just need a break. I come home. She's coming in my room. So, yes, I need a break every now and then. It's not, it never stops. I'm going to let y'all know that.
We have to realize and make it okay for us. Like, we need to talk about it. Breaks are okay. Like,
heck yeah.
We don't need to feel bad about it. Like, it's okay. And that's what we need people to know. Take your break. It's good for your mental health.
What about you, Kevin?
I think that that's a mom challenge more so than a dad challenge.
Really?
My kids were smaller. Yeah, when they were smaller, I would have them... a lot of weekends, and we would I would do things so that they couldn't nag me, right? So I would take them to the zoo and walk the zoo with them, so that way when I got home, they were tired. But the problem I had was they would go to sleep in the car.
And
the
beer.
And went back in the zoo. So by the time we got home, it was sort of like you had to feed them. And, you know, I always went to, and this is terrible, but I always went to the TV show or something that I knew that they would watch nonstop. Like, you know, it could be Thomas the Train. It could have been, Bolt. Any of those movies. And I want my Craig Disney. But, yeah, I mean, it was just... It was just a way of, like, they almost helped me. The TV helped. So, they didn't come in the bathroom. They didn't, you know, follow
really?
Me, you know, around the kitchen or anything like that. No,
seriously?
Seriously. A mommy thing.
It must be a mom thing. Thing.
I mean,
what about you, Patrice? Do they follow you? Do your baby follow you everywhere?
Like, I don't get a break. Like, seriously. If he was home now, I could not do this. I don't get a break. If I'm in the bathroom...
Mm-hmm.
And I closed the door. She said, why are you closing the door? No, come in. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I think if I don't open the door, he will sit at the door.
Yes.
Try to talk to me through the door.
Yeah.
Or just stay there, twiddle his thumbs until I get up, and then he's like, are you done?
Wow, yeah. Keisha, all your kids do that?
I usually need a break.
Wow.
But I do need a break.
So Kevin said something about the TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel guilty when you guys just put your kids in front of the TV? Because I feel like sometimes you might need a break. So, and I know oftentimes they're mentioning the fact that our TVs are being our parents, you know, are parenting the kids now. So what are your thoughts on that?
For me, I'm very mindful about television and electronics, but it's necessary in raising your children because you have so many things to do. Like, you have to work. You need something to help you. So, but I'm very mindful that, you know, it can be a little bit too much at times, sitting in front of the TV all day or, you know, playing video games. But in order to get a break sometimes, these are the things that you need to utilize. And I've done it.
Do you guys feel the same?
Yeah, it's definitely something I feel badly. The thing is, with my son, he gets too engaged in any form of screen time. And so sometimes you're trying to have a conversation with him, and whether he's distracted by the TV, the tablet, the phone, whatever, and it doesn't happen. And so because I realize that he gets engaged so easily, what I try to do, like Keisha said, sometimes you have things to do. And sometimes there's no other help around. So if I'm doing the dishes or if I'm doing chores at home or, you know, on Friday night, if I want to have a glass of wine and be on some Instagram, I would say, okay, you know, here's 40 minutes of TV time. And then once that time is up, we both have to just find me. Can get a lot, believe me. It can get to the point where you get so caught up with everything you have to do that before you know it, it's 2 hours and 3 hours.
Right. And like, where did the time go?
Right.
All right. So, this one is hilarious to me. Have you ever sat in your car and ate a snack? Or hid in the closet so your kids won't ask for any of what you're eating?
Yep.
Because you just simply want to get away from them. Has that ever happened to any one of you guys?
No.
I have. No?
Let's talk about that. Keisha.
Go ahead, Keisha.
Well, for me, I've definitely stayed in my car. not necessarily hiding something from my kids because I don't want to share, but that has happened because I've had my favorite snack. And as soon as I take it out, the kids are there. So I've actually, like, stayed in my room and have a snack even letting them know. So I've done that. But I've also hidden, like, locked the bathroom door and just stayed in there for a minute. There are moments, but those are moments when I was having a breakdown or something, you know, just to get away. So I would lock myself in the bathroom. I'm knocking on the door. Can't get away from them. But in terms of the food, yes, I've done that. Like, my M&M's. I love my M&M's. I totally love my M&M's. So, I've done that.
Yes, I've done that. I used to go get ice cream, and ice cream on a cone, and I know my daughter would have asked for some, even though she already has some in the refrigerator. So, yes, I sat in the car in the driveway and ate it before I came back in the house. So, yes, I've done that. She just did it. She did it the other day. We bought Slurpees. She ate hers, and she still came when I was drinking mine, like, can I have some, at 20. So, no, yes. So, usually I hide outside in the garage or something and eat it before I come in the house. Yes.
And why is that not okay? It should be fine. Like, right. Why do we have to share our stuff with our kids?
Exactly.
I mean, it should be okay to have your ice cream or your M&M
right.
without sharing. Right.
We give them everything else.
Exactly. Can I have
some? Why do I feel like Kevin is like, I don't know what y'all talking about?
No, I think it was the opposite for me. You know, my kids decided to eat, like, all of the sushi one night.
Oh, yeah.
It really disappointed me, you know? So I was outside cleaning trash cans, and they decided, hey, yeah, he's not, he doesn't want that. And I came in hungry, and I was just like, yo. And so I flipped out, you know? Like, you know, truly, like, so... I probably should hide stuff from them. I have, you know, put stuff in places that I know, like my son or my daughter, they'll go through, you know, some chocolate or something that's in the fridge. And so, you know, I may change the location of that. But that's just so I can have some. I'm not going to keep it from them, but just so that they don't take it off. My kids are a little bit older now, so you know, they kind of move around as adults.
Oh, man.
But I definitely should get something and eat it and, like, record it and send it to them.
That you should.
Oh, my God. Patrice, do you have anything to say about that?
I've never hidden any snacks. Most of what I eat, he eats. But the funny thing is, I was waiting for Kevin's response because I'm one of those parents. If I'm, let's say, I'm on the road, and I buy a piece of cake, you know, or I buy some food, the first thing I do is I'm going to keep half for him. I don't know if that's because that's what my mom used to do, but I do it every single time. Today I was at work, same thing happened, and a co-worker said, oh, I'm so hungry, and I was like, oh, you can have this slice of cake. And he's like, why do you have cake in your bag? And I said, oh, I was taking it home for my kids. But then the funny thing is, I remember once my husband and I were out, and I said, oh, I think I'm going to take this home for Zaya. And he's like, oh, okay. And I just happened to say to him, don't you ever feel like you want to take food home from me? He's like, no, I want to eat all my food.
Right.
I feel like it's a mommy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just with my mom and my stepdad, and my stepdad never took anything home from me, and I was thinking about that, and I'm did.
And then the crazy thing is, my husband, he will hide everything. He doesn't eat chocolate, but he loves a lot of sweets, a lot of candy bars and ice pops, and he will hide in the bathroom eating these things.
Okay, I was going to hear Kevin's response.
Okay. So, next question. How is the pandemic affecting your parenting? Right, it's affecting a lot of things, but nobody talks about how the pandemic is affecting parenting. What do you guys have to say about that?
Oh my goodness. I think the pandemic has brought or highlighted all the stress of parenting to another level. I think the idea of being around your children for 24/7 right now is like, it's crazy. It's very stressful. And it's like you never get a break. So you get up in the morning and they're there. Lunchtime, they're there. Evening, they're there. There's no break. And then all their bad behavior that you typically never see during the day, now you're seeing it. Now you're experiencing it. Now you're not only a worker, now you are a teacher. It's like you have several jobs to do and it's stressful, and I hate it. Like, I talk about it all the time. It is not for me. I like breaks. I like when my children go to school, and I understand that we're in a situation that we have to be here. But also, there's some positive to it, but I think the negatives are the stress of it, like trying to handle everything in one is what makes it so difficult for me.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You guys feel the same?
My kids are older, so,
yeah.
You know, the biggest thing with them is just checking their grades and letting them know that you still have an interest, even though it's like, I wouldn't say abbreviated, but online school. I think that's been the main challenge, is just trying to keep them interested. In terms of, like, you know, getting out of the house, the pandemic, I had my kids for half of the summer, and so, you know, I just had to come up with something different. Instead of a camp, because I'll stick my kids in camp, and not so much that I get a break from them, but so that they get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Like, they need a break from the house. They need a break from, you know, video games or TV or iPads or phones, whatever it is, just to get them out of the house and get them moving and get them social.
Mm-hmm.
So since we're social distancing, I had to go to the drawing board. So, you know, they do, like, physical trainings and play tennis and lessons and this type of thing. So it costs more.
Yeah.
Things cost more now than prior to the pandemic started.
That's interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
It can cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does cost more money now.
Plus, they're in the house too all the time. Electricity and all that stuff. It costs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't get a lot. Oh,
yeah.
Water, electricity.
Internet usage
is
real.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Is your parenting style similar to your parents, and how did your parents influence the way you parent today? Ooh. Kevin, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a mix between my mom and my dad. You know, my dad was kind of the jokester. You know, he liked to have a good time. Whenever I was with him, I had fun. So I do a lot of fun stuff, I guess, based on what I came up with my dad. My mom did a lot of fun stuff too, but she was about exposure. So that's kind of like the museums, you know, instead of, you know, just going out and having ice cream and hanging out into the park. It was like, oh, let's go to the museum and let you learn something. So I get a mixture. In terms of the discipline, it really just depends on what it was or what it is, you know. A lot of times it's my dad, he never, like, all he would do is yell at us, you know, and that would get us in line. My dad never spanked us, none of that, like, ever. And so my mom, though, she would get the comb. So, you know, I kind of tend more with my dad of, like, yeah, just, you know, go to your room or just yell at them, and that's enough most of the time. So, and they hate that. I definitely take after my parents.
Isha.
Well, for me, I think what I learned from my parents, or their parenting skill, is definitely I kind of turn it around to be more positive. I try to be a little bit more loving and affectionate with my children. I hug and kiss them a lot. I didn't really get much of that. So that was something that I probably wanted when I was younger. So I figured as a parent, I would show my kids a little bit more affection. And my mom is a great mom. And I think probably I learned from her, like, more of the nurturing in terms of, like, providing and being kind to your children and giving them things like that. I think I definitely get that from her. She's very good at that. Great mom. But I think for the most part, showing affection towards your kid, I think, is very big for me, because I think maybe I was lacking that when I was younger, so I try to be that for my children.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Heather, what do you think?
So I was raised by my grandma, and I got my butt whooped every day. So, so I raised my daughter, and I try my best not to. But honestly, a lot of times I did revert to popping her butt because she wouldn't listen, but I try my best not to do as many beatings, I guess, as how I was raised with my grandma. Like Keisha was saying, that the loving part too, I didn't hear I loved you from my grandma until probably 18. My dad, now when he visited, I got a lot of hugs, my mom, a lot of hugs and kisses, but to say I love you, didn't hear that a lot growing up, so I try my best to do that with her, to be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I think maybe like everybody else, there's a mix to some extent. So I'm the eldest of three kids from my mom, and I honestly believe that me was disciplined for everybody. Mm-hmm. I'd be getting a whopping, and in my head I'm like, okay, but I don't think this deserves this. But then, you know, you get older and you start analyzing every situation. And my mom grew up in a home where she was a stepchild, and she was the eldest of, I think, maybe six or seven kids. And so she had to be doing a lot for her siblings, and she got a lot of blame. She got a lot of beatings. And I think to some extent that kind of trickled down to her. So what I tried to do with my son, talk to him. Let me tell you, before I had him, I was like, oh, your ass is going to get whooped. That kid just have to get me, you know, people to get me. But then I had him, and I don't know, there is just this intrinsic affection and love you feel to these kids, and you look at them and you're like, God, if I hit him, I'm gonna hurt him. Oh, you know. Sometimes I get so angry at things he does, and I'm like, look, if Malika mega kill him.
Yeah.
So I better not. But you know, like Keisha said, and even Heather, I did not grow up. My mom is an awesome mom. My stepdad was really good with us. But my mom was not affectionate, and I know that's because she didn't get that kind of affection. And I don't want my son. The first time my mom hugged me, I'll never forget. She like really hugged me. Nothing was happening at the time, and I was so thrown off. And I found it a bit off-putting. And I'm like, what is going on with her? Like, is she having a moment where she feels like she's gonna something's gonna happen to her? It was very weird to me. I don't want that for my son. I don't want him to think affection is weird.
Right.
Yeah. So I overdo it, and he'll say, "Oh, mommy, you're kissing too much," you know. Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a mixture. Like Kevin was saying, my mom was big on exposure too, so I definitely try to expose him as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that we all talk about, you know, the affection that we didn't get from our parents. But even I know for me, especially for my dad, maybe I was angry for a couple of years about that. But something really dawned on me that really made it okay for me. They didn't get that love from anybody. So how in the world are they? We expect them to give us that when they didn't get it from their parents, or they don't. If we can understand that, then we can be more empathetic.
Right.
For me, I wanted to break that pattern of behavior, and I consciously make it a part of my duty to make sure I'm loving and affectionate towards my kids.
Right.
But I definitely understand. I don't even blame my parents. What I didn't have, I kind of understand from their point of view why they're the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can understand that, then I think we'll, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
My dad, actually the opposite. My dad actually took the approach that you all are taking, because my dad had a real rough childhood, teenage years. And so with us, he was awesome. Like, instead of, you know, at different points, you know, he knew what to do when, looking back at it, you know, whether it was getting on his knees to talk to me, or, you know, yelling at me, whatever it wasn't what he went through. In my mom's house, my mom's family, and, you know, obviously me, we don't take life for granted. We don't take this day for granted. We don't take the time for granted. So, you know, like, it was nothing, like, to this day. You know, I talk to my mom before we hang up and tell each other we love each other, you know, because we just don't know when things change. And, so that's kind of the way that I was raised, was that you just, you know, you treat every day as a blessing and a gift.
Yeah.
you know, obviously there was ups and downs in life and childhood and growing up and all of that, but it, overall, I would say, if anything, my daughter, which I found to be a little bit different than what I had read, is that my daughter's not real big on mush with me. My daughter prefers to have a secret handshake with me than for me to say, oh, give me a hug. Like, she dreads that, you know. Her, she wants to do the LeBron James triple slap backside, you know, make it grow up, you know, all that kind of stuff. She prefers that. And with my son, that's a natural boy thing to do. So, mm-hmm. you know, I have to remember when we make changes to each of the handshakes.
I think what's interesting is the fact that, as Keisha mentioned, you kind of make the choice to change the trajectory of your family.
Right.
It's kind of having to be a conscious decision mm-hmm. at the end of the day because, you know, even for us, you know, for me and Keisha, I don't believe that we really started to say I love you until maybe 10 years, 15 years ago. Recently, you know, it's not like it wasn't something that was natural. And I think it became natural to me. Yeah, it only became natural to me after going to church. And the people within church, were saying that that's kind of how we roll at church. So I'm like, if I can do it with my church peeps, I can certainly do it with my family.
Right, right.
So that's kind of how I kind of broke that. And, mm-hmm. and you know, so, you know, whenever I leave, whenever we're talking on the phone, I may say, you know, I love you or whatever the case is. So it's interesting. All right. So do you always like your kids?
No.
Right.
And I think we need to make a distinction between loving and liking your kid, right? There's a difference. So kind of like talk about the differences and talk about whether or not you like them or not. What do you guys have to think about that?
There are moments that I don't like my children. Moments when, like my son recently, you know, acting up, doing virtual school, not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and lying about it. Those are very frustrating moments that I really like to. I don't like you. Like, who are you? Who's kid are you? Because this is not how I raised you. And yes, I love him, but I also let him know that I don't like his behavior. And I was like, I don't like you right now because this is why. These mm-hmm. are the reasons. And I'm okay with that. Like, you know, I'm okay not liking you for a minute.
Where were you?
We can't hear you.
He's going in and out.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What did you say?
Okay. No, I was just saying, I think what, Keisha's saying is it's not that you don't like them. You don't like what they've said.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not... It's like, oh, I don't like that person. Like, no, I mean, you still love the person. Mm-hmm. You still like them overall. It's just that, you know, percentage of the other parent, right? Like, it shows up sometimes. And, you know, that's the part that people are like, what? Why would you do that? You know, why would you say that? I think that's the key for most parents. Is like, you know that you love your kids because it's like, if you don't love them, who's going to love them?
Right, right.
But what they do, you know, like when they ate my sushi, like I
you can stand them.
Like, for real. It just caught me off guard so bad. And I was just like, ew, like, where'd y'all learn that? And I was like, maybe it's something I did. I don't know.
And it's okay. Like, I feel like it's okay not to like your kid and not feeling bad about it. Like, I don't like your behavior right now. And I'm going to let you know.
I don't think a lot of parents really talk about that. I feel like parents feel a certain level of guilt if they were to say that they don't like their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel guilty. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Because like you say, you're not going to always like the people that you're around, even with your spouse sometimes. You're not going to like that person, so the same thing with your kids. Sometimes they get on your nerves. Like Kevin just said, it's not that you don't like them, but it's the things that they're doing at that moment. yeah. when they start acting like right. their daddies. So yeah.
And does that affect how you love them? Do you think that affects your love for them?
No, I don't think the love could ever change.
No.
Real talk, no, real talk.
No, real talk. That love is not going to change. You can't stand. I know I can't stand her at times. Like I want to. She's 20, so I want to fight her like a grown person at times because of the situations that she does, right? But that doesn't take away the love that I have for her, because I don't think that could ever change. I think with a child, you have unconditional love, regardless of what they do. You can't stand them, but. It's yours, right? They're yours, so.
But real talk, though, yeah, mm-hmm. it does affect, it might not affect the love that you feel for them, but mm-hmm. it certainly affects what you do for them at the time. Like if I'm not liking you right now, just don't ask me to make you a sandwich or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Make you a sandwich or, you know what I'm saying? It does kind of affect some of the way how you treat them at times.
At the moment,
I'll be honest with you.
No, you're right.
It does. But it doesn't take that.
I would say we haven't gone to sushi yet, since then.
He's really holding on to that sushi.
We really are heartbroken about that.
Really?
It was the act. It wasn't so much what it was. It was just the selfishness. When that showed, it was sort of like,
yeah.
I get it. Because, you know, they're kids, but at the same time, like, nah, we haven't
been
back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Can't stand.
Did you have anything to say about that before we move on?
No, I feel the same, the very same. My kid's very stubborn, like, Jesus Christ, I don't understand how someone under 10 has that amount of defiance in him. And, sorry to God, sometimes I want to drop kick him.
Yes.
We're just stone chopping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I try to just say, look, you know, this is not right. Mm-hmm. You're not acting right. I really don't like you right now. And the worst part is when he says, I don't like you either.
Oh.
I know.
Wow.
I have that.
Yeah.
Amazing, like, this kid.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He needs to move on.
Yeah.
Then he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh, my boo-boo.
So with that said, do you ever regret being a parent? Is there any point in parenting where you just regret being a parent? You just want to take them back to the store. Just take them, get them back. Not yet.
Regrets.
That would be a yes. And I've had those feelings. I really have. And these were feelings that I have in, like, the most frustrating times ever. Like, you know, times when I can remember when Logan was born, not being able to figure out what was wrong with him, why is he crying, and I literally had breakdowns in the bathroom of, like, what did I get myself into? Like, this kid is crying. Like, I wish I didn't have a child. I really do. Mm. And I always wondered, maybe some people may call it postpartum depression. I don't know what it was, but I've had that feeling, like, I wish I wasn't a parent because it's so much responsibility. And when I had the twins, oh my God, I've had more of those thoughts. Like, what did I get myself into? Because as I said before, nobody really tells you or prepares you for what parenting is. It's a constant somebody. You have people just depending on you, like straight up depending on you.
For life.
And you're like, you have this incredible responsibility that no one can ever prepare you for. And you know, people... You always think about, you know, having kids as a natural progression. You get married and you have the children. It's like a beautiful fairy tale. But then when you have these kids and you look at them, they're crying. You're like, this is no fairy tale. This is real stuff. And I really, like, cried and said, you know what? I wish I didn't have children. Because not only it slows you down from doing other things that you want to do, it doesn't give you flexibility. And at times, you want to have that flexibility. You want to have that freedom. And having kids, not give me that, for sure. And nobody tells you that. Everybody was like, oh, when are you having your child, the next child? Or it's like, don't ask me that. It's like, real.
Patrice, how do you feel about that? Do you ever regret?
No, I haven't had that moment yet. And I say yet because You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just don't know. But I have an, at the time when I got pregnant with my son, I feel like I was mentally and emotionally prepared for it. I, funny enough, wasn't planned.
Oh, really?
It was earlier than expected. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that to the point where I remember one of my closest friends had reached out to me after she had her second child. And she's like, girl, I don't know how you're managing. You know, I think I want to run away. I just don't get what is going on with this kid. And it's something I could understand, but it wasn't something I'd gone through. But I think it was also because I was extremely busy because I was working on contract at the time when I had him, so I didn't get the 3 months that most people got. I got 3 weeks.
Oh wow.
Right. So you know, I was just working, taking care of baby, taking care of house, trying to be a wife. Mm. You know, my mom was with us helping for a little while, trying to be a good daughter, a good host. So much going on, and then when he was like a year and a half, I was like, shit, I'm tired. yeah, like, do I have days though? Like Keisha said, do I have days when I get up and I don't want to be here? Hell yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some days I just wanna, and I don't go out much. No, but some days I want to get up and I want to go to the store and buy plants and buy house things and I, you know, yeah. I sometimes I can't move. Mm-hmm. He's with me and I'm gonna be disrupted in the store. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this is a parenting thing where, well, not for Keisha. I was going to say, it goes back, it just kind of goes back to the earlier question sometimes for me, where, like, my son, you know, you miss your kid, like, he's gone, like, I can't wait to piss him off, and then 15 minutes after he gets home, I'm like, okay, somebody needs to take this
Right.
So, you know, it's quite the job.
It is the job.
Right. Heather or Kevin?
Go ahead, Kevin. Yeah, I don't know. No regrets, even though I'm having headaches, but no regrets.
All right. So, what are your thoughts on mom shaming and dad shaming? And let's just for the audience, we're gonna just let everybody know what the definition of that is, right? Mm-hmm. So, mom shaming is when a person criticizes and or degrades a mother for her parenting choices because they differ from the choices that the shamer would make. So, what are your thoughts on mom shaming and dad shaming, if there's such a thing as mom shaming or such a thing as dad shaming?
I would tend to believe that it's called alienation, more so than anything else, especially if it's with the kids directly. If it's just hearsay or if someone has an opinion that's different, mm-hmm. I mean, it really depends. I mean, at some point, as parents, you know, you have to find the middle ground. At a certain point, the kids get a say in what's going on. So, talking about the other parent, whether you agree with them or not, is not going to get what you're looking for. So, it's kind of pointless. In my opinion.
I think in a way, we all kind of, well, for me, been kind of guilty of mom shaming. Not like I outwardly go after a mom and say, you're doing wrong thing, but we tend to criticize, like, oh, you know, I can't believe your children is up at 10 o'clock, or I can't believe you let your child go out in whatever. But I think now what makes it worse is that people, like, they're actually, like, especially on social media, is actually typing these things and, you know, going at these moms for making their choices, whether it's how they dress their kids or how their kids are behaving. It's always, like, people making a direct reflection on the mom, and they actually, you know, And that's the bad thing about social media, is that it encourages people to write these things. And I think until you're in somebody's shoes, you shouldn't really, like, I can't, motherhood is so hard that going after a mom for her choices, unless it's something like really outwardly bad, mm-hmm. is just not a good idea, because it's hard and people make their choices. Like, there's nothing wrong with feeding your kids cereal for dinner.
Right.
It's okay. It's nothing wrong with if your kid walk outside with maybe a stain on their shirt. You don't have to point that out to the mom. You think she doesn't know it? Mm-hmm. So I think these things are, even if you're thinking, I don't think it's necessary to be verbalizing it.
Right.
And putting men or moms or dads on, you know, out there like that.
Right.
Yeah. There's this thing I remember seeing. I said, we were all parents before we became parents. And it's one of the realest things I've ever seen, because let me tell you, before I had my son, I was I'm not a judgmental person normally.
Mm-hmm.
But have there been situations in which I've seen a kid act out and I'm like, oh, okay, she needs to get a hold of that kid.
Right.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, when I had my son, in my own head, I'm like, okay, we need to get a hold of that kid.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I'm telling you, and I'm being honest, and the thing is, a lot of times I've ended up in situations, well, not a lot, but a few times I've ended up in situations in which I know that I judged somebody
mm-hmm.
else.
Yeah.
And then my kid is doing it, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is
right,
fine.
Right.
I've been in a situation with a good friend of mine, and it's something I have to apologize for. Years after, where a girlfriend of mine, you know, her son was a little rowdy, and I remember thinking to myself, why isn't she doing anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I had a kid, and he's rowdy, and I'm saying, Patrice, why aren't you doing anything?
Right.
So you can't, sometimes you're so down tired.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're crippled. Sometimes the truth of the matter is you just don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would happen if somebody from the outside might say, oh, why her kid lying down on the supermarket floor? Because he damn well wants to. Not because of the guy. Shut up.
Right.
I will say, people who don't have kids and their mom or dad chain, they are just ignorant.
Right.
And I enjoy enlightening that ignorance now.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have kids, parents, who mom or dad shame, I stay away from them. Have I been around people who will say, oh, you know, why isn't your child, I remember when my kid was like 2 and he wasn't forming all his words, and they're like, oh, you need to let me take that pacifier.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know what I did? I just stopped going around them. I stopped taking my kid around them because I don't need that kind of negative energy.
Right.
I'm not going to call it with it. So, let me be.
Right.
It keeps him quiet. It keeps me sane.
Right.
Like he said, Keisha, it's so damn hard.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Hard.
So do you guys think that there is such a thing as dad shaming? Because, again, in my perspective, my humble opinion, I feel like there's a lot more pressure being placed on moms than it's placed on dads. So is there some such thing as dad shaming? If that's the case,
I'm sure there is, but it's really like probably dads don't really care what other people say. I couldn't imagine spending so much energy about somebody's opinion about a pacifier,
right?
Or why the kid's not talking,
right?
You know, you're like, oh, your kid's not talking, like, no. Oh, well, maybe you should get them checked out. Like, yeah, maybe. You know, and then you got a discussion with the other parent. Like, you think they need it?
Right.
Maybe you should get them checked. Who knows? Like, I don't know. You know, you just kind of see what they say and see if it makes sense in your house.
Right.
I would think that people have things to say about anybody and everybody. I mean, that's like, it's always been like that. It's just getting more of it now because you don't have to mail letters. You can just, you know, post it on a platform.
Yeah.
Right.
People following it can see it and share it. And, you know, I mean, it's almost like any other topic.
True. Do you see a lot of mom shaming or parent shaming from your own family, though? Like your parents, your parents, your grandparents, and everybody telling you how to raise your kid and that you're not doing right? What?
Yeah. They say that.
No, no, no. What are you saying?
Oh.
No. What were you saying? What's his name? Eric? Oh, I thought he was saying something. No. Because go ahead, Keisha.
No, I think there is dad shaming. I think it comes more from, especially within a two-parent household. I read an article that it typically comes from the woman. Because, you know, women, we have a sense of control, and we think that we know how to raise the kids better than guys. And, you know, it comes off as, oh, you're not doing that right, or that's not how you're supposed to do that. So it typically comes from within, like a two-family, two-parent household. But I think with society, I think when dads do certain things with kids, it's considered cool. Like, oh, he's a cool dad. If he brings the kids out in a mismatched thing, oh, you know, he's just a dad. He's cool. But if a mom brings her child out looking a hot mess, it looks different.
That's true.
The guys are the cool dads, and the moms are, oh my God, I can't believe she got the kid looking a hot mess, you know?
You're right.
So it's a little different sometimes.
Okay.
You're right.
All right, so we're going to close this out shortly. So I have one last question for everyone. So in general, let's close this out this way. I was trying to decide how to close it out. Okay, so do you think, how comfortable were you guys with responding to the questions that were just asked? Do you believe that these were comfortable questions for you? Do you believe that these are questions or conversations that you have with people who may be close to you, but you guys may be not as comfortable to share with the public because of fear of being shamed or guilty? Or what are your thoughts on that?
For me, I'm sure people are looking at me like, damn, Keisha, she doesn't like being a parent, does she? But I like being a parent, but I have challenges with being a parent. Mm-hmm. And all that I share right now are different moments that I experience being a parent. So I've talked about this with my close girlfriends. These are things that I've spoken about, but I can see how maybe if somebody's watching this, we're like, oh, Keisha, hey. Have kids, like she shouldn't have kids, but she seems like she don't like to be a mom. But that's totally not the case. But I think that this is important for us to speak about because these are real things, and it's also good for our mental health to speak about these things.
It is.
Because what I know for sure is that as moms, we all experience these similar things. We all, and that being a parent is not a fairy tale. You know, it's time for us to start talking about the real aspects of it and kind of help each other along the way.
Yeah. Because all you see posted on social media is, oh my God, this is my best friend. I love my baby. Everything is all positive when you see it on social media, but nobody ever says anything bad about their kids. You don't ever hear anybody saying they can't stand their kids at times. So, no, I wasn't uncomfortable talking about it. My daughter knows we were going to talk. I tell her. I'm honest with her about things. So I think more people need to be honest about how they feel being parents so more people open up about it.
Yeah.
So, nope, wasn't uncomfortable, yeah.
The exact same views. Motherhood hits so hard sometimes that any and everybody that will listen, I'm telling them.
Right.
You just, like, if you're the man on the street and you say, oh, look, and I'm like, well, do you want to know that he has days when he's not so cute?
Right.
You know? Because like you rightly said, Heather, we have to normalize these conversations because there are people that are going through so many things, and this is on both ends. Mm-hmm. Let's just say parenthood, whether you're a mom or a dad, and they never talk about it because, one, they think they're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. They may think they don't have an outlet. And so we don't talk about it. And sometimes it's, let me tell you, I have a village, and my village is more through moral and emotional support than physical support because I'm living out of my home country, so I don't have my own people here. Mm-hmm. But that has helped me so much to stay sane, having those conversations, whether it's with my girlfriends who have kids or who raise younger siblings. Mm-hmm. I have learned so much, so many different things, whether it's something practical or whether it's just something to you know, a joke somewhere along the line about their own kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely feel very comfortable. I felt very comfortable coming in to talk about it, and so happy that you guys have this platform that will allow people to be open and not judged by the things that they say.
Definitely.
Okay, what do you think?
Definitely comfortable. I mean, you know, you are who you are, and you know, your views, and I mean, no kids were filming this podcast. So, yeah. Everyone's gonna survive,
right.
Whether or five, or in between. I will get sushi again one day.
Right? One day.
What it does also, to Heather's point, is that hopefully it goes out to folks that are questioning whether they continue to want to be parents, because your kids are going to need you.
Mm-hmm.
And that time comes, I would believe, and again, the uncertainty, is that if I have a foundation of doing life with them, that when it comes down to it, they may actually give credit and listen to what I may share with them as they may face as they get older. So, you know, it's a part of the process. Right. And, you know, good days, bad days, it's like a career, it's just like a marriage, it's like a relationship. Mm-hmm. Things are always fluid, and as long as you're a part of it, hopefully they turn out right.
Right.
Awesome. So we basically instituted this last thing where we ask our guests about gratitude. So we end our show in season two about just sharing with everyone the one thing that you're grateful for. So for Patrice and Kevin, what is the one thing that you're grateful for? It has nothing to do with parenting. It's just what you want to share. What are you grateful for?
For me, I'm grateful for my community. And that's my community of people, whether that includes my family members or just my friends or my coworkers, people that keep me happy and keep me sane and help with my mental health, because that's important. So definitely extremely grateful for my community. Couldn't have done anything in this life without them.
Kevin?
Grateful to be here. You know, each day is a blessing. So for each day that's here, the start of the day, the middle of the day, the end of the day, get a chance to do it again, you know, definitely grateful.
Awesome. So, do you guys have any handles, whether it be on social media, that you'd like to share with the public? Patrice, you have anything social media that you want to share? If not, that's fine. Kevin, you the same? You have any social media handle that you want to share?
Yeah, follow your boy on Instagram, Kevin James Rowe, and then also follow us at www.compliancenetwork.com. Just in case there's anybody out there that's thinking about starting a broker-dealer, an investment advisor, or would just like to learn a little bit about what we do. So definitely check us out.
Awesome. Patrice?
I'm on Instagram, and I'm opening this page up because I do share tidbits of my journey through this process of motherhood, this journey.
Oh, nice.
So that's at PSimcaH, that's PSimcaH on Instagram.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And you guys can check us out on at I Got You Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're everywhere. Again, it's I Got You Podcast. And thank you guys so much. I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this show. And I appreciate your candidness. I appreciate your perspective. And I thank you guys. You have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrice. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.